Eudaimonia. Living a life you love and live it powerfully. This morning I woke up and have been up now for more than 2 hours, and not a lick of work has been done. I have been musing. Hungarian songs swirl in my mind, I look up words I never knew what they meant. But in the age of Google you can look up anything, and find. Old, forgotten words and songs belie the history of the people changing. What they eat, what animals they keep around, how they think. And then this old movie song sneaks up, in my mind, and I cry and cry again. This grandfather who works in a department store sings tuned about his grandson, and compares their lives, his own, where he felt not productive, and sees a future for the little boy where he is useful and therefore a man. And when I caught that part, useful, I really started to sob. There is this question where every society differs, what is the purpose of a human? A purpose that leads to the good life, eudaimonia. If the society says, your purpose is to be happy, to pursue happiness, you'll be unhappy. Guaranteed. If the society says, your purpose is to amass wealth, you'll be unhappy. To make the most of what you've got. If the society says, your purpose is to be useful, to be productive, that life becomes more because you lives, you will be happy. In my courses, especially in the Three Wishes workshop, this came out really clearly. At least to my trained eyes. The workshop is really simple. You are asked to make three wishes. That the wishes all need to be for a sum of money. And then you are asked to allocate, to spend that money. And tell me what you used it for. The way you spend that money tells me your culture, and tells me how much happiness and fulfillment is possible inside that culture. And why you're not happy. No one is truly happy in the world, but some people are mostly happy. I'm mostly happy. Happiness is an inside thing. How you feel about yourself and your life. To what degree you fulfill on the purpose you think you have for a life. So when you look at a person, you can see what they hold important, essential to happiness and what they don't. It is obvious that money and wealth, and beautiful things, is not high in my priorities. Sometimes I forget that unless I make money I can do the work I do to fulfill my purpose. That is when it is not the purpose drives my life, but some other concern. And the card is taken into the ditch. Like right now. I have been giving too much away, and driving myself thin. And poor. But the most interesting thing is this, no matter what your culture, unless you feel useful, unless you create more life, and I don't mean procreate. Unless life becomes more abundant from your activities, you don't feel happy. You may keep on pursuing what your culture says you should pursue, and become less and less happy. In the Three Wishes workshop I can see deeper into you than in any of my workshops, and I can help you get unstuck. Because all the other methodologies stay closer to the surface, and don't reach the real core of your life, the real hurt that unless it is healed, your life will continue on the same trajectory. And for most of you that is not good news. Almost all programs, methods, teachers, practitioners deal with the more surface stuff. Like trying to pick oranges on an apple tree. Unless a program reaches to your seed level and manages to change that, nothing lasting will come out of it. And to my surprise, none of the methodologies I learned from those programs, etc. did it either. In spite of the fact that I'm a skillful empath with tools no other human has. But although I have been spreading myself thin for the past month or so, although doing 4 to 5 workshops a week is a tad too much, I am starting to see stuff that I could never see before. On one hand I am seeing the core issue, the seed level more clearly. On the other hand I am seeing that inspiration, the ability and willingness to see a better future than where it's heading is responding to subtle suggestions from the future self. Famously. Having the Three Wishes workshop and the future self workshop so close to each other, week after week, allows me to become more effective in freeing people up to become all they can become, and to be their best, and potentially become happy, fulfilled people. The results, looking through my eyes, are already phenomenal. But thankfully not so good from the participants' point of view, so they would consider themselves one and done, and stop allowing me to see even deeper into them. Many processes fail because they give the participant a fake sense that they are done, they are cooked. Only to see that in 3 days, a week, a month later they are back to their default mode, not happy, not turned on, not inspired. Instead dutiful, because now they have to. Not a happiness maker. Having to. My first teacher, Werner Erhard, anecdotally had a poster made for himself. He put the poster so when he woke up in the morning, he could not avoid seeing it. You don't have to. Having to is a context, and a disempowering one at that. When your context of doing even the best things, the most wonderful things, you are out of integrity. And if integrity is an inside job, and it is, then the context will decide your relationship with yourself. Or when we project it out into something visible, you and the person in the mirror will not love each other. I asked quite a few people yesterday to commune with the person in the mirror. My first irrevocable transformation happened with me doing the same. It was 1987, and I was a recent immigrant with no one and nothing to fall back on. I needed a job, and the famous stock market crash put me out of a job. I was an architect, and a sudden loss of money stopped most projects. I was in a training program in Landmark Education. That wasn't its name at the time, but tomato tomato. Same thing. I asked my coach what to do, and he said, invent yourself hireable and spend as much time in front of the mirror as is necessary, so the person in the mirror sees you as that. It took me from 10 p.m. till 6 a.m. to accomplish that. I invented myself as brilliant and a contribution. I got hired on the spot. Not only that, everyone talked about me as brilliant and a contribution after that, even though I never shared the words with anyone, including my coach. And, between you and me, risking that you'll call me a braggart, I am still brilliant and a contribution. Everywhere I go, anyone I speak to. And before that I was all about myself. I was 40 years old at the time. My about me score had been 91% I just measured. Did it drop, my about me score, to 20%? It is 3% now. The context inside I take care of myself and my needs shifted. It is now not a concern, it is part of who I am, available in the world to be useful, to make a difference, to cause my students and clients to get well, to get unstuck, so they can be happy and fulfilled. For that I take care of myself. Do I look good in the eyes of people who value money, wealth, position, etc.? Not at all. I used to see it all the time, before the epidemic. No, I only saw it in the online class reunion with my classmates from 54 years ago. They didn't think I looked good. I keep the temperature in my apartment very low, and dress for the low temperature. Instead of spending your money on heating bill, I'm mighty fine with that. In addition to saving money on unnecessary heat, I also keep myself hearty and chuff. My TLB sky high, 90% is of this moment. As opposed to my classmates, which is mostly one. When your TLB is low, every little pebble on the road rattles your life. Every challenge questions if you are a match to life or not. Your brain isn't working at full capacity to solve problems, because problems are bad for you. Failures are the end of the road for you, mistakes are bad. You need to increase your toughness score, your TLB. Life is life, and SHT happens. I taught my students yesterday to say no big deal, and be okay with whatever is happening, however it's happening, to stay in their power, so it is not the end of the road for them. So what is the secret? Why is the synergy of these two workshops able to dig out the seed level and the seed missing so effectively? Good question, if I can answer, right? Now that I am looking, I suddenly notice that actually a third workshop-like program contributed the filter. The filter that allowed certain things to be seen, that otherwise can't be seen at all. And that is the concept of being seen like a thing versus being seen a person. Now, truth be told, after almost a whole month of people attempting to see others as persons, every single one of the participants has failed to see another as a person. And what blocks them from seeing them as a person is, surprise, they not seeing themselves as a person. As I said in a previous article, this is a human condition. We talk about human being, we say we are a human being, but no one, with rare exceptions, is able to see human being, recognize human being, and others are in themselves. And when I was researching through Google, there are no books, no articles, nothing about that. Even Ayn Rand doesn't see human being. Even though, if you have the eyes to see, he writes about some. Not many, mind you, but some. The distinction is missing, and it's missing that it's missing. Just like germs causing diseases was a distinction that was on no one's radar. Even though they do and did. Less than 1,000 people in the world actually see intrinsic values. And consider them. Intrinsic values, the ones that make a human being, are there, inside. Dormant, or maybe even expressed, the spiritual capacities I measure in your starting point measurements, the spiritual DNA capacities I turn on for you so you can promptly turn off, are all intrinsic values, but not valued, not seen, invisible. Of all the intrinsic values aka intrinsic capacities, it was the sight, seeing what is there but you don't see it because you only be what you are, what you have, and not what's there. Training, keeping that capacity on has been the hardest challenge. A challenge I have failed so far miserably. It seems that it's a rule, you can't see what is there, only what you are. And what blocks you from being what you can be, that magnificent person, is a seed-level decision you made in a moment of despair when you were little. My theory is, judging from the inspiration that arose in the last two future self workshops, once those are removed, if it's even possible, or reshaped, or who knows what we need to do with them, your own magnificence will be your new reality, and you'll be able to see others' magnificence. It happened to me when I was almost 50 years old. It happened unexpectedly, when I was able to embrace being stupid. I became a person who had stupid, but wasn't stupid. When you embrace that which is your seed-level decision, you own it, and it doesn't own you. When you embrace it, like a pillow, you can see over it. And can see everything, you are not it. The monkey with its baby is the picture for that. I have been using that picture forever, but it seems that it needed to be the end of the process, and thus far that was it. The whole process. Mere words, no substance. Yeah, I can admit that. Because I see that that was the case. Now, what can you do if you want to be part of this transformation, which is a nice word for completely revamping yourself and your life? Three parts. The Validation Challenge 45-30 days. The Three Wishes Workshop 90-30 days. The Future Self Workshop 90-30 days. None of these can be omitted. Is it expensive? Yes. Is it time intensive? Yes. Is it foolproof? No. Most people are not interested. They are comfortable being unexpressed, miserable, low or underachievers. Many people can't afford it. Many people don't want to find out that they could do better, because then they would be on the hook to actually do something with their lives. Many people are cynical, which is just a thin veil on being resigned. Nothing works for me, they say. I am a lost cause. Many people are too busy to take on something like this. So I am not talking to those many people. I am talking to you if you are someone who is willing, able, and had enough of living a life like an object living among objects. Being considered an object, considering yourself as an object. I am talking to the 2-3-4 people, the definite minority. If you are already participating in all three programs, you can opt to change to the monthly charge and get 2 private calls with me. I, of course, refund your unused payments ASAP. Why can't I promise that you'll be done after just 30 days? I can't. You are going to be like a newborn, and need to learn to walk, to feed yourself, to talk like a human being. It is going to take a while to become at least a toddler in the human being game. If and when it becomes necessary, I'll add additional trainings for no extra charge. Learn more. Go to www.yourvibration.com/bigpack. My assignment is to develop a technology to turn ordinary humans into human beings. You are part of this assignment. This will piss off many of you, you only care about yourself. Please, if that is you, don't apply. I will consider every applicant and will refuse your participation if I don't consider you trainable. If you have value to trade for part of your tuition, don't hesitate to enter a conversation with me. You may have skills that can be turned into use by me. So don't think you have nothing to offer. P.S. This is an experiment. In my entire career I have never offered anything at a price range like this, even though my stuff has always been valuable enough to be paid at rates like this. And yet, my clients, students, are used to my dirt cheap prices. Even though my current students pay this price. Just at piecemeal. So this is an experiment. That may fail. If it does, I'll go back to my current pricing structure. Pay as you go.